Hi, Canucap Studios. Welcome to the Chronicles of New Eden. I'm Dan Dinard, the co-CEO of Sorry in Advance, an alliance in Wormhole. I'm also the co-host of the Canucap Studios Chronicle. It's a weekly show about EU's news every Tuesday at 2015 Eastern Time Zone. This episode is going to be about how the Galantid think. We're going to see it through their culture, their religion, and also through their politics. We're going to know what art they can do, what is worth it for them, and many other things. So are you ready to dive with me in this episode? Let's start it! Culture and religion. The core value that drives the Federation's culture is that of personal liberty. This permeates every level of civilization, with individuals generally able to live their lives however they choose. A person can be of any race, religion, or creed and generally find acceptance and opportunity wherever he goes in the Federation. The diversity this engenders has made the Federation the most cosmopolitan of all the empires. While the other three empires tend more toward a micro-level homogeneity, even a small city in the Federation will find Galanti walking side by side with Amar, Kaldari, and Minmata of all backgrounds, bloodlines, and beliefs. Culture. Coupled with the high standard of living in the Federation, this great freedom allows citizens to pursue any life they wish. Someone who takes pleasure in the simple things can usually live a relaxing life with very little real hardship or stress. Those who only thrive in the pursuit of something can reach for their goals and, with luck and perseverance, achieve greatness. No dream is considered unworthy, no desire unattainable. Though the Galanti are innovators in many arts, one particular aspect merits mentioning, if for no other reason than that it serves as a convenient emblem of the Galanti mindset. Due in no small part to their proclivity for pushing the boundaries, Galanti artistry has become elaborate that, to many members of New Eden's other nations, it seems virtually unintelligible. As an example, in many Galanti narratives, the story is embedded within layers of satire upon meaning upon satire, and predicate upon subtle movement and form. As a result, the whole endeavor of the audience becomes less about following plot and more about how to interpret the piece based on the nuances of its presentation. For this reason, whereas a typical Galanti may sit wrapped over the lastest Galanti of the real, a non-Galanti might watch the same thing and perceive little to have happened at all. Furthermore, in many Galanti works, this convolution will turn in on themselves several times, creating metal layers of meaning that Galanti critics and academics love to mull over, but which seem like vacuous pretensions to those less interested in the intricacies of analysis. Virtually every type of culture and subculture imaginable can be found in the Federation, freely mingling. Walk down the Crystal Boulevard on Galanti Prime and it's likely no two people will look alike. A body mother who has replaced half her limbs with cybernetics can be found standing beside a worshipper of the Sani Sabic Fates. The two of them watching an adult monk lead a troop of gene slicers in meditative exercise. Dozens of churches dedicated to every religion can be seen lining up side to side. The priest engaging in friendly chit-chats as they await Parisianers. Religion. In terms of religion, as in so many other domains, the Galante exhibit tremendous diversity. New creeds appear and disappear regularly, and usually incorporating elements of the previous existing religions or philosophies and combining them in new ways. Secular cynics are fond of saying that these diet religions are little more than schemes intended to part innocent spiritual seekers from their money while bestowing tax breaks on the evangelists who run things. While this is certainly not unheard of, it is nonetheless true that in a considerable number of cases, these religions are instituted and run by people who genuinely believe they have found the truth. Until next month, that is when a new religion comes along and changes everything. Though they are many and varied, the religion of Galante origin tend to share a few characteristics. For one, their practice tend to be neither very strict nor formal, as a general rule focusing more on the individual as his happiness than on rules of dogmas that serve the institution. Rituals vary widely, but tend to incorporate some form of herbal or chemical assistance in communing with the higher power in question. Most often these are legal substances, but every once in a while, particularly in the case of newer religions, they are synthesized psychoactive compounds that are still tied up in local or federal approval pipelines and have not yet become illegal. It is perhaps no surprising that the Hamar have an abiding view of the Galante religious activities, as little more than drug parties where religion is dressed up as an excuse for reckless hedonism. It is difficult to foresee which individuals will be religious and which one. A child growing up in a typical Galante household, if there is such a thing, is almost guaranteed to have parents who adhere to two different religions or secular philosophies. Furthermore, she will, according to most accepted statistics, switch beliefs or dominations at least twice in her life. As Galante society is constantly in flux, so too are the mental lives of most of its inhabitants. It follows, therefore, that as religious organizations rise and fall, so do each individual's affiliations. In fact, during a given Galante citizen's life, she is likely to go through several cycles of singularity, philosophy, and religion. How deeply felt any of them are can be known only by the individual in question. Politics. Of course, all this freedom has its cause. The only things generally considered illegal are those things which do harm to others. As long as there is consent from all parties, however, pretty much anything craving can be satisfied as long as a person knows where to look. While those growing up in the Federation often learn to moderate their baser urges, there are always those who slip through the cracks. Foreigners moving to the Federation, for example, are often easily overwhelmed if they aren't careful. For all its shining greatness, the Federation does risk falling into a malaise. Nowhere it is more evident than in its elections, where voter turnout has been constantly declining for decades. Why the large federation elections, particularly for the president, have respectable turnouts, local voter turnouts regularly reach new lows. Some believe this is an unavoidable side effect of the federation's greatness. If everyone is happy, they don't feel the need to speak up and make changes. Others believe it's not happiness that keeps voters away, but sheer apathy, with everyone too caught up in themselves to worry about who makes the law. It does not add that the diversity has created a lack of unifying purpose for many Galante. While the Ama have their religion, the Kaldari have their corporate loyalties, and the Minmata have their clans and tribes. There is very little tying one Galante to another. There are those among the upper echelons of the Federation who worry that when pressed, everything might easily fall apart. From this, an extreme right-wing counterculture has emerged, which has found heroes in current head of Federal Intelligence, Mantas Blake, and his shadowy team of special operatives known as the Black Eagles. This group is rapidly gaining influence in the Federation, and no one yet knows how far their invisible arm will reach before all is said and done. Wow! They are really individualistic people. They are so far away from the discipline of the Kaldari. And I can definitely understand why the Kaldari didn't want to join the Galante and start a war. So next week is gonna be about growing up Galante. If you follow me for a while, you know those are my favorite episodes. That's where you fully get into what it means to be in this race. So see you next week, Canucks and friends!